This is the day the Lord has made.
Let us rejoice and be glad in it.
Hosanna, O Lord, save us.
We pray to you, Lord, prosper our days.
Blessed is the one who comes in the name of the Lord.
We bless you from the house of the Lord.
The Lord is God and has given us light.
Form the procession with branches up to the corners of the altar.
Give thanks to the Lord, for the Lord is good.
His mercy endures forever. Give thanks to the Lord, for the Lord is good. Say it loud.
God's mercy endures forever.
Blessed is the one who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. You may be seated. Children, good to see you this morning. You can sit down too if you want to. This is an exciting day for me. I love this day. We call it Palm Sunday. It's the day that we make a very important proclamation. And that proclamation is written on this poster. And when I show it to you, I want you to shout it out loud, okay? So this is what we call a children's sermon rerun. My hope is that one day the kids are going to remember it, and then they'll be one up on me. So we'll see how it goes, okay? You guys ready? I've got it ready. You ready to make the announcement to these people so they can hear you? So those of you who can read are really going to have to shout it and help the littler ones, okay? All right, here we go. 1, 2, 3. Shout it out. I didn't hear you. What? Try it again. Why aren't you shouting? What? I'll see if these guys can do it. Can you guys do it? Ready? They're just laughing at me too. Somebody said it. Here, come closer. Let me come closer to you and see if you can read it. What does that say? See it? What does that say? Yeah. All right, get it. Say it to the kid. Say it to those around you, so everybody knows it. All right, let's say it. What is it?
Jesus is King.
Hallelujah. Say it again. Jesus is King. Hallelujah. Come on. Jesus is King. Hallelujah. So the reason I do this is because it's the truth, but it's kind of hard to see today and in the coming week. Because what's going to happen from this time of great celebration when we proclaim Jesus as King? What's going to happen? He's going to go, what's going to happen? I thought you had it. Oh, he's going to go to Jerusalem. And what's going to happen to Jesus there? He's going to be crucified, isn't he? Very seldom do we see a king who is willing to die for his people. So Jesus is a different kind of king. He is a life-giving, a life-saving king. He gives his life so we have life. But this is the truth that we proclaim today. Jesus is King. Say it again. Jesus is King. Hallelujah. Yeah. Thank you for helping us proclaim this today. Let's pray. Jesus, our King. You can say it after me. Jesus, our King, we love you, adore you, and praise your holy name. Lead us into your ways of selfless giving. We pray in Jesus' name. We pray in the name of the King. Amen and alleluia. All right, thanks for coming up today. Wave those palms as you go back to mom and dad.
Everlasting God, in your endless love for the human race, you sent our Lord Jesus Christ to take on our nature and to suffer death on the cross. In your mercy, enable us to share in his obedience to your will and in glorious victory of his resurrection, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen.
The Lord God has given me the tongue of a teacher that I may know how to sustain the weary with word. Morning by morning he wakens my ear to listen as those who are taught. The Lord God has opened my ear, and I was not rebellious. I did not turn backward. I gave my back to those who struck me, and my cheeks to those who pulled out my beard. I did not hide my face from insult and spitting. The Lord God helps me. Therefore, I have not been disgraced. Therefore, I have set my face like flint, and I know that I shall not be put to shame. He who vindicates me is near. Who will contend with me? Let us stand up together. Who are my adversaries? Let them confront me. It is the Lord God who helps me, who will declare me guilty. The word of the Lord. The second reading is from Philippians. Let the same mind be in you that was in Christ Jesus, who, though he was in the form of God, did not regard equality with God as something to be exploited, but emptied himself, taking the form of a slave, being born in human likeness. And being found in human form, he humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even death on the cross. Therefore, God also highly exalted him and gave him the name that is above every name, so that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bend in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to glory of God the Father. The word of the Lord.
Gospel according to St. Luke, the 19th chapter. Glory to you, O Lord. After Jesus had said and taught many things, he went on ahead of the crowds going up to Jerusalem. When he had come near Bethphage and Bethany, at the place called the Mount of Olives, he sent two of his disciples, saying, "Go into the village ahead of you, and as you enter it, you will find tied there a colt that has never been ridden. Untie it and bring it here. If anyone asks you, 'Why are you untying it?' just say this, 'The Lord needs it.' So those who were sent departed and found it as he had told them. As they were untying the colt, its owners asked them, 'Why are you untying the colt?' They said, 'The Lord needs it.' Then they brought it to Jesus. And after throwing their cloaks on the colt, they set Jesus on it. As he rode along, people kept spreading their cloaks on the road. As he was now approaching the path down from the Mount of Olives, the whole multitude of the disciples began to praise God joyfully with a loud voice for all the deeds of power that they had seen, saying, 'Blessed is the King who comes in the name of the Lord. Blessed is the King who comes in the name of the Lord. Blessed is the King who comes in the name of the Lord. Peace in heaven and glory in the highest heaven.' Some of the Pharisees in the crowd said to him, 'Teacher, order your disciples to stop.' He answered, 'I tell you, if these were silent, the stones would shout out.' The gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. O Lord, you are our Master, our King, our Lord, our Creator, the Sovereign, the Holy. As we come to your throne today, reveal yourself to us in ways that help us see that you are a different kind of king, a king who wants to give us life, who wants to fill us, who wants to give us an abundant life that the world can't give. So as we draw near to you, Lord, give us eyes of faith. Break our hearts where they are hard. Soften the ridges, bring us close to you, that we may live in relationship with you, not only today, but every day upon this earth and every day in eternity, for you are everlasting. We pray this in Jesus' name, amen. So on one hand, it is that simple. As simple as the children said, Jesus is King. On the other hand, it's a bit more complex. There's already a king in the land. Now, everyone knows in politics it's good to be close to the king, right? So the average person, we might say, well, great, there's two kings. If the one doesn't pan out, then I can draw closer to the second one. I can rub elbows, try to get closer to the second king. But royalty knows there's only room for one king. And it seems to me that Jesus knows this too. There's only room for one king in our lives. That's why when Jesus begins his descent from the Mount of Olives in our scripture today, as he descends the Mount of Olives and prepares to go through the Kidron Valley and up into Jerusalem on the other side, Jesus proclaims through his words, his actions, his deeds this day that he is king, that he is the one. He is the one that has been waited for. He is the one who has been expected. He's the one who's been longed for, the one who will bring healing and hope and life. Things that we've seen him do throughout Luke's gospel, Jesus is proclaiming through his actions on this day that he is the one. And those Pharisees come to him and they tell Jesus, tell your disciples to stop. But Jesus says, if my disciples are silent, the stones will cry out. The stones will proclaim it. The stones will make it known. It is undeniable. It is uncontainable. It is indisputable and irrevocable. Jesus Christ is king. The king has come, and he is Jesus. To set the context for this story, this story that we celebrate every year, to set the context in Scripture, we turn back a couple chapters in Luke's Gospel to chapter 17. There, Jesus is asked by Pharisees, they say, Jesus, when will the kingdom of God come? When will it be here? When will it arrive? And Jesus says to them, the kingdom of God is among you now. It is in your midst. And it is here, this very moment. But Jesus goes on to tell a story that reveals that very few are able or willing to see it. And perhaps even fewer still are willing to embrace it. And after this discussion about the kingdom, Jesus says those who try to make their life secure will lose it. Those who lose their life will keep it. These are words from Jesus that are repeated in every gospel, and so they're important words. They're words that we should wrestle to understand. Those who try to secure their life will lose it. Those who lose their life will keep it. That's chapter 17, verse 33. So then moving forward to chapter 19, as chapter 19 opens, Jesus tells a couple of parables, and he tells these parables about money, about people and their relationship to money. The first one is the story of Zacchaeus, probably a story that most of you know pretty well. Zacchaeus was a tax collector, seen as an outsider, a scoundrel. He had collected more than he should have from people. But Zacchaeus climbs the tree because he wants to see Jesus, and then Jesus invites himself to Zacchaeus' house for dinner later that day. And people are grumbling about this invitation, and they're grumbling that Jesus, the one who they're starting to see as the king, the Messiah, would dare to eat with this outsider, this scoundrel. But in that conversation, in that dialogue and relationship over that meal, Zacchaeus surrenders his life. He repents. He admits that he has taken more than he should, and he said, half my wealth I will give to the poor this day. And Jesus says in that conversation, Jesus says, salvation has come to this house today. In the second story, it's a story about it's a parable about a nobleman who went to a faraway country. And in Luke's gospel, he says he goes there to find royal power. In other words, he goes to a distant land to get power from that ruling entity so that he might come back to this land that he calls home and become a ruler there. And as he goes, he calls 10 slaves or servants, and he gives them each a pound. And he says, invest this while I'm gone, and when I return, I will ask for an accounting. So when he returns, he has royal power. He calls those servants, three of them in particular. The first one says, your pound has made 10 pounds more. And he says, well done, now you will be in charge of 10 cities. The second one comes forward. He says, your pound has gained you 5 pounds more. Well done, you will be in charge of 5 cities. The third one comes and says, here's your pound. I was afraid of you, so I buried it in the ground. Here's what's yours. And he's condemned. He's condemned as a coward, as one who is unwilling even to invest that money with the banker so that the owner might have a simple rate of return. So the question swirling around chapter 19 as Jesus comes into the city this day, as we stand in this text, is this: how will you invest the life that God gives you? This is language about investment. It's financial language, which most of us kind of understand or wish we understood more. But the Word of God is challenging us. It's calling us to question ourselves and to ask ourselves, how am I investing the life that God has entrusted to me? What kind of steward am I? What kind of steward do I want to be? What kind of steward does God want me to be? A steward of what belongs to God. Will your investment in this world, will your investment in this life, will it benefit the master and the master's kingdom, or will it simply work to shore up what you're building for yourself? It's a question that we all have to struggle with when we come to realize that what we have does not belong to us, but that we are simply keepers and stewards of it. Now, we can deny that fact. We can deny it. Nope, this is mine. I earned it. It's, you know, I'll invest it for myself. But this king who is coming into Jerusalem, this king who is coming to as Lord and Savior, this king who is coming to give us life, has a different truth about the kingdom of God. And that is that all things, heaven and earth, all things, your life, your breath, your car, your house, it's all a gift. It's a gift for you and for me to steward. And that can be good news or it can be bad news. If we receive it as good news, we simply say, thank you, Jesus. Thank you for allowing me the opportunity and the privilege to steward something that belongs to you, something so precious that it belongs to you. Or again, we can step back and we say, nah, sorry, Jesus. I just don't buy it. As Jesus mounts the donkey on this day of the Mount of Olives, this story plays out. Jesus becomes a servant. The Son of God becomes a servant who not only invests his life, but one who fully deposits himself into the hands of his Father. In the garden later, he will pray, Father, let this cup pass from me, but not my will be done, but your will. Jesus is willing to surrender his life. He's willing to deposit his whole self into the hands of God. He's willing to lose his life because he trusts that in losing his life, he will find it because of the faithfulness of the Father. And he does. He does. He deposits his whole self into God's hands, and because of that, we're told that Jesus is vindicated. And he does that. He makes that deposit, my friends. He makes that deposit for you, and he makes that deposit for me. The Apostle Paul says it in this way, one of my favorite passages in Scripture. He says, Paul says that Jesus emptied himself, taking the form of a slave, becoming obedient even to the point of death, death on a cross. Jesus gave up his power, his privilege, his position. He gave up any advantage he had, and he became fully human. And in that, he deposited himself into the Father. And they deposited him into the grave. But through his actions, fruit has been born. That fruit, my friends, is you. It is me. Jesus comes to you and to me as King. It's as simple as that. It's a bit more complex because there's already a king on the throne. That's a question for each one of us. Who have we put on the throne? And oftentimes we find that we're looking in a mirror. It's me. It's me who I've put on the throne. I am the God of my own destiny. I am the Lord of my own life. It may be something materialistic as well. And so in order for Jesus to take the throne, something else must be dethroned. And so that is our challenge as we move into this Holy Week. To answer the question, who will I serve? How will I invest? What return or outcome can the Father, the Lord, the Master, the King of my life expect on the investment that he has made in me? Now this part is a part for Emmanuel folks. So if you're visiting with us, I'll give you permission to just kind of don't stop listening, but just recognize that this part isn't for you. A couple of weeks ago, I sent out a letter on behalf of the congregational leadership, and in that letter, there was a challenge for two things. The first one was to recommit your life to worship. It seems to the leadership that since the beginning of the year with the hard weekends, with weather and stuff, that we've maybe fallen out of the habit of regular weekly worship, the rhythm of life that God has given us. So there's a challenge there to reestablish ourselves in weekly worship and invite your friends and neighbors to do the same. And of course, there's a whole host of other reasons why people don't come. Other gods, perhaps. Other lords of their life. And at the bottom of that sheet was a invitation for you to consider, to spend some time thinking about, praying about the investment that you will make into Emmanuel Lutheran Church and the mission that we share. And so today we're going to do that in gathering. You'll be invited to bring those sheets up during the offering. If you forgot yours today, and the ushers will have them following the hymn of the day during the announcements. So this is just a very small part of the whole life that you live. This is about your commitment to your church in terms of, and to your spiritual life in terms of regular worship and giving to the mission of the church. But there are six other days in the week that God gives you life and breath. And so I invite you to spend some time this week thinking about how you're investing yourself, how you're investing your time, your energy, all that you have to offer, all that God has entrusted to you. Friends, you are Christ's seed. Have you ever thought about that? You are the seed of Christ. When Christ fell into the earth, in John chapter 12, he says, unless a grain of wheat falls into the earth and dies, it remains a single grain. But if it dies, it bears much fruit. You are that fruit, and you are the seed of that fruit. You are the seed that Jesus has planted into this world to bring about his abundance. This coming week is not about shoring up your life. It's not about avoiding the cross. The cross will come. This week, if this week, this past week, has shown us anything, it's shown us that whatever we build can fall apart with just one ice and windstorm. Has it not? What we build up can fall apart in a moment. It can be crushed. It can be blown away. It can be washed away. Whatever we build up on our own strength, our own power, can be gone like that. So this week, this coming week, is not about shoring up your own life, your own future. But it is about asking how you will deposit your life. Your breath, your work, your parenting, your call to be a spouse. It is about those things. It is about asking how you will deposit yourself into Jesus and into his mission of love. There is one king. There is one throne. There is one kingdom that will last. And you are a seed of that kingdom. Let Christ plant you anew every day so that you might bear fruit that glorifies the one who comes, the one who comes in the name of the Lord, the one who comes in the name of our Father in heaven, the one who has created us, made us, sustains us, redeems us, gives us life. Deposit yourself in that bank and you will find everlasting blessings and life in abundance. Amen.
With the whole church, let us confess our faith. I believe in God the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, God's only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary. He suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended to the dead, and on the third day he rose again. He ascended into heaven, and he is seated at the right hand of the Father, and he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen.
Trusting in Christ's Passover from death to new life, we pray for the church, those in need, and all of God's creation. At the end of each petition, I will say, "Hear us, O God," and your invited response is, "Hear our prayer." God, most holy and humble, plant in your church Christ's spirit of humility. Remove any barriers preventing us from seeing his saving work on the cross. Hear us, O God. You reveal your will for all creation through stones, seas, mountains, and meadows. In the splendor of what you have made, show us your care for everything, both great and small. Hear us, O God. Give hope to those who endure damage and loss of power from the ice and wind. Help them know that you are their strength. Hear us, O God.
Your mercy is great.
God, you meet us where we are at, and you know our every need. Receive our petitions as we lift them silently to you. Pour courage and hope into people who feel like they are wasting away in distress and grief. Let us pray for those listed in the bulletin. In addition to those, we pray for the family of Mike Tweed. We pray for the family of June, Rolf, baby Jaylee, Nick, Heather, Melissa, Dwayne, John, Ione, family of Elaine, Catherine, Tim, missionaries Colin, Jenny, Josie, and Amos, the Evangelical Lutheran Church in Mahimias. Open our hearts and minds to receive the words that you speak. Give us words to encourage the weary and to sustain one another in word and deed. Hear us, O God. Help us to recommit our lives to you through worship and sharing the gifts which come from you to others. Hear us, O God. Attend to the needs of the whole world with your saving grace and lead us all into new life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.
Lord, remember us in your kingdom and teach us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever.
God who fills the creation with abundance, Christ who spreads his arms in forgiveness, Holy Spirit who draws us ever near, bless you and bring you life everlasting. Amen.
Go in peace. Jesus is King.
Thanks be to God. Hallelujah.